Okay, everybody. Say today's daf is daf Samaches, and we're starting on Samach Zayin Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom where you have the two dots. As we recall, we spoke yesterday about the inyan of giving tzedakah, the machsoyrei asher yechsalai, and the Gemara continues talking further in this inyan. Dr. Gemara, Reb Abba, havetzayir zuzi besudrei b'shodi leila achoyrei. Reb Abba, when he used to go down the street, he used to go and have with him a sudre. A sudre is like a large scarf, and he would go and take the scarf, and in the scarf he would go and pack in little bundles of money. And he took that scarf and then he would go and turn it to the back. A scarf, a shawl. And umamsi nafshil be'ani. And he would go by the homes of aniyim with the expectation that the aniyim would go and see him walking down the street, would know that he has that shawl with the packages of money there, and that then they would go and pick at it and pull out some of the funds. The reason why he did that, it's very famous that the Rambam writes that the highest form of tzedakah is to do it without knowing to whom you're giving the tzedakah to. In other words, a benefactor should not know the identity of the beneficiary, so that there shouldn't be any busha. And you remember we had the Gemara towards the end of yesterday's daf, that Mar Ukvar ran into the oven so that the beneficiary of the tzedakah should not know who his benefactor is. So that's what Rabbi Abba did. But Rabbi Abba was concerned that when he's walking down the street, and if he's not going to look back as to what's going on, maybe a Ramai, a fraudster, might come and he might also pick at the money there in the shawl on his back. And therefore, Matzli Eini Meramoi, Rashi says Matzli Eini means Mata Einav Klapi Achoyin. If he didn't look fully, in other words, he wouldn't turn around totally, because again, he didn't want to see the Aniyim. But rather, what he did was, he would go and slant his eyes from time to time to make sure that those that are picking over there are Aniyim and not Chas V'Sholem Ramoi. That's the end of that story. Nushtikl. Reb Chanina Hava Hahu Anya, Dava Rogel V'Shturi Le'ar Bazuzi Kol Mali Shapsa. Reb Chanina had an Oni in his neighborhood to whom he used to go and send four Zuzim every Erev Shabbos. Yoi Machad, one day, Shadrinu Nile Biyad Bissu. He didn't go on his own, but rather he sent his wife. Asoi, she returned. On Malayin, she said to her husband, Loi Tzarech, this Oni that you've been supporting for all these years, he really doesn't need it. So he said, my husband, what did you see? Who told you? Why? When? Where? So said, now the wife of Reb Chanina, Shami Davik Amrilei, I overheard them talking at home, and they asked him this ani, how would you like to go and have your seuda today, your meal? Would you like to have a betali kesef? Or a betali zohav? On the surface, one would think that means with silver or gold plates. However, Rashi says it's talking about mapos. Mapos are tablecloths. Of course, you don't have silver or gold tablecloths. So Rashi says we're talking about the appearance of a silver tablecloth if it's made out of pishtan levanois. In other words, beautiful white linen, and it gleams, and it looks like it's silver. Or, says Tap Rashi, b'shel meshi tzivuos. Or maybe it was from colored silk, and the coloration presumably was such a reddish, goldish hue, and a golden hue, and therefore H-U-E, and therefore it would really look nice. It looks similar to gold. So the point is, they asked him, do you want to have this beautiful, nice, white linen, or would you prefer having something more that looked like gold? His Omar! So he realized when his wife reported that this guy is a phony. And therefore he said, Haydi the Omer Blazer. Now we have to understand what Reb Lozer says. We have to go and thank the Ramoim. Anytime you find a Rama, you have to say Shkoyach to him. Why? If it wasn't for them, then Chas V'Shol, we would be sinning every day. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, this Pasuk is referring to when it comes the Shnas HaShemitah, which of course is this year. We still have a few days in the Shnas HaShemitah. And a person is asked to go and give a loan. I'm sorry? We have to make a prizbal, exactly right. So if you look at the number one in the Torah, Orash Shalem, if you have it, be careful that you shouldn't have something b'liyal, something evil in your heart, that says, Kor v'shnas ha-shev v'shnas ha-shmitah. It's now Shemitah year, v'ro'eincha b'chicha evyoin, and your eyes will now be evil towards your brother. Why? You're not going to want to give him a loan because you're going to say he's not going to pay back the loan and I won't be able to collect after Shemitah. And of course, there was no principle in the times of the Torah. Of course, although this is talking about a loan, but it means more generally tzedakah to go and help out the poor person. So now what our Reb Chanina is saying is we have to say Shkoyach to Reb Lozer. Why? Because based on that passage, Karalech al Hashem, Vahoy Bacha Chait, Tani Reb Chia Bar Rabbi Difti, that Reb Yishuv Ben Korcho Imer Kolamalim Eilem Menat Tzedakah. Anybody that closes his eyes from giving Tzedakah Kiilu Oyved Avoydes Koyachavim, Chas V'Shom, it's as if he's doing Avoydes Zora. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, "Hishom lechop peniyah davar im levarcho blial." That's the pasuk that we were quoting. Uksiv hasam, and it says, "By the irhani dachas yotzu anoshim neim blial." And what did they go and say? Says Rash. Says the Torah Ora Shalom number two. Vayadicho es yoshvi iram leimar neilcho venavdalihem acherim asher lo yedatem. Oh, so you see that the word blial is attached to the concept of avodah zarah, and therefore, because here it says blial, and there it says blial, we learn one from the other. Go and tell you that chas v'shalom, a person who closes his eyes and doesn't give tzedakah, chulila v'chas, he's a person who is oived avodah zarah, and therefore mal alon avodah zacham, afkan avodah zacham. So therefore, what the Chanin is telling us is that after 120, when we go up to Shemayim, if and when chas v'shalom, a person is nidoin, why didn't he give tzedakah to Rabbi Smith, and why didn't you give to Rabbi Jones? Says the Gemara, Baruch Hashem, we have Rabbi Lozer that will be able to go and give at least some defense, and will say, if all the Rabbi Smiths in the world, and if all the Rabbi Jones would all be sincere, Erlich and Nebuch poor Jews, of course I would have given them. But unfortunately, as we know, there's at least 1%, 2%, 5%, whatever, of Ramoyim, of phonies, and therefore I don't want to go and give tzedakah to a phony. I only want to give it to an erdach that really needs the money. So therefore, said Reb Chanina, we have to say shkoyach to Reb Lozer, that Reb Lozer in turn is saying shkoyach to the Ramayim for giving us a good defense. If from time to time we're not careful about giving tzedakah to everyone, we shouldn't chas v'sholem be branded oivdei avodah zarah. We'll be able to have a good defense. Li'achar mei avi yasum shah. Now, before you ask your question, the Chayra Ar Gemara today seems to be a contrast with the Gemara that we had yesterday. What did we have yesterday? We had that Mar Ukva sent his son to go and drop off some money for an ani, and then he comes back and says, Tati, this fellow doesn't even really need the money. He says, how do you know? Because I saw that they were Mizalef Yayin Yoshin in his home. Mizalef Yayin Yoshin means to go and sprinkle it, to spritz it, to give the room a very nice aroma, a nice scent. As soon as Mar Ukva heard that, he said, really? Then I finna go and give him double. Then he really needs it. They machsir ashiyachsalai. It's a felt, and he needs that. And so therefore, make sure, in fact, to go and now double the amount that we're giving him. Yet over here, we have almost an identical question, or identical situation, where the wife comes home and says, ah, this guy doesn't need it. He's eating on these beautiful linen cloths, or he's eating on these beautiful silken tablecloths. So why don't we say the same thing? Give him double, he really needs it. Demachzer shiyachzolai, you should go and get it. The Gemara is soiser. So it's not my kash, it's a top choice. Top choice, says, V'hodloi aifinu v'shadrinu k'moi mar ukva dili el of yesterday. Yishun devaharach devarim leishayach pinik elavadi osher hoy. To go and after the meal is over, where there may be all different types of odors in the room after one has finished a full meal, and you want to go and lighten things up, and so therefore you have k'enek toitis of sorts, some place where people go and burn incense, and some people go and spritz this aromatic wine to go and give the room a brand new, fresh scent and the gishmak and aroma. He says, oh, that's the armifunokim, word finik. My father's Chen Bruchim would say it's related to the word finicky. Some people are very finicky and they really want everything to be... Oh, fine. Good. But there are people that need that because that's the way they were brought up. An oni ben toivim, like we had in the Gemara yesterday, that's his upbringing. So he needs that. However, to have davka, such a fine tablecloth made out of either fine linen that it looked like silver or that looked like gold, that's already, says Rashi, it's a simon that he's an usher, because even the fine schmeckers, as you say, are not makbidavka on that. So therefore, it's a simon that he's an usher, and therefore he's a rabbi. Barry, you had a question.
You responded.
I figured that was your question.
Thank you.
Zokti Mar. Since we spoke about a Ramai, the Gemara gives us a couple of examples. Hamesame es Einoi, a person that walks around collecting tzedakah, and what he does is he puts a patch on his eye, or he acts as if he cannot see, so that people should have rachmanis. Vamatzves Bitnoi, a person that bloats his stomach, he puts in a pillow or something, so he looks like Nebuch, like those people in Africa that Nebuch haven't eaten for the last 6 months. Vamekapeach Shukai, he makes his leg appear to be shriveled. The person therefore walks around with crutches all the time. If a person does that, it's ultimately going to happen to him. In other words, he prepared for that day. He's eventually going to become a suma, or a person who Nebuch has a bloated stomach because he has malnutrition, or Nebuch, he's going to lose part of his leg, and then Nebuch. So therefore, don't play around with things like this. Similarly, a person who goes around soliciting funds and he doesn't need the funds. So if I this might happen to him. My father's Chanavrucha, I remember when I was a kid, if I would see a wheelchair, sometimes I would sit down in the wheelchair, you know, kind of as a little child to go play with it. My father said, no, don't sit down, Chas v'Sholem. If you sit down, that's a bad simon that eventually you might need a wheelchair. So of course I immediately stood up. So I was learning with my son Ben Tzion this Gemara last night, and my son told me, you'll never believe it. What? Near his shul, there are parking spaces, and as you typically have, there's one or two parking spaces which is miyuchid for a handicapped individual, right? So only handicapped people should park there. There was a person there in shul that for many years would go and ignore that and say, ah, come on, there's no handicap, blah, 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 and he would go and park there. And guess what? And today, Rahman al-Islam, he's handicapped and he taka needs that space. So therefore, don't play around with it. Listen, the Chazal.
What's the expression? Yotze mipia shalit?
That's toys, yotze mipia shalit. But you have to be careful anything that you say or that you do. Chulir al-Khaz. That's another wonderful Chazal. And we continue on. Ketoyes ayoytsu piyasha, not be piyasha, but something similar. Yeah, okay. Tanan Hashem. Einuk mechayved uisa limkar is basically has to play tashmishoy, etc. Now, what is this that we're referring to? This is a Mishnah Masechtas Peya. Glad that our friend that was here yesterday, he made reference to this Mishnah. This Mishnah Masechtas Peya is talking about if a person wants to go and collect from the fields leket shikha upeya, he has to have less than 200 zuz. Because if he has more than 200 zuz, he's considered to be, if you will, an oisher, not a multimillionaire, but at least he is disqualified as an oni, and therefore he's not allowed to go and collect lekha shikupeya from the fields.
It's the poverty level, effectively.
Poverty level, exactly right. So it's not awesome. It says there in the Mishnah. In going and computing and calculating the 200 zuz, there are certain exemptions. What are those exemptions? Even today in modern bankruptcy law, there's something known as a homestead exemption. Exactly right. And what are those homestead exemptions? That if Chas v'Shalom the person is bankrupt, he has to liquidate his assets to be able to go and provide payment to his creditors. But there's certain things which are exempt. For instance, his home, where he lives. We don't expect the person to go and sell his home and become homeless. So here too, the person is on that 200 zuz poverty line. But at the moment, he's less than the 200. He wants to collect the lekashikul paya, and people say, hey, he has a beautiful home. I know he has equity in the home, and therefore it's worth more than 200. So the person is an oisha. He can't collect. No, no, no. If he doesn't have any liquid assets, and therefore he says, Rabbeisai, I have a beautiful home, but I have nothing to eat, and I cannot eat the bricks or the mortar from my home. We don't force him to go and sell the home, and not his klei tashmish. Exactly what we mean with klei tashmish, we'll see in the Gemara momentarily. So in Machai Ben Oysa. So this is a Mishnah in Masechtas Peah. But there's a Braisa. Furthermore, Veloi, we don't force it, but we have a Braisa. Hoy Mishtamish Bechlei Zov, Yishtamish Bechlei Chesed, Bechlei Chesed, Yishtamish Bechlei Nechoshes. If this person was using beautiful golden kelim, we tell him, go and sell the golden kelim. But I need those kelim. What the kelim are, we'll see in a moment. But I need kelim. Fine. So you buy cheaper stuff. You go and buy silver. If he had silver, let him sell it and you'll use copper. And therefore, so we see there is a requirement to go and sell. I, the Mishnah Maseches Peis says, "Hey, Machay Ben Oisay." Amar Rav Zvid Loikasha. It depends what you're talking about. Mita Shulchan, Haba Koisayis U Kaaris. If you're talking about a Mita Shulchan, or you're talking about Koisayis, of course, those are glasses, or Kaaris, and plates. Okay, so now the question is, which one is there the Hakpada? The Gemara doesn't say clearly. One could have thought, perhaps what he means to say is that maybe that's referring to the koisois and the ka'arais. He has these fancy golden goblets. He uses a gold kos for Shabbos to make Kiddush. Sell your gold kos and go and use the silver kos. Or the same thing as the goblet ka'arais. He has a fancy schmancy crockery. He should go and sell it and use plastic goods and the throwaways that everybody has nowadays. That might be what you would initially say. But the Gemara assumes no, that it's the other way around. That when we're talking about the Klei Zov and Klei Kesef, we're talking about the bed. That he has a fancy schmancy bed, it weighs 42 inches, with a big backboard, a big splash over there. He should go. I don't know too many people that have golden beds, but the point is, if it maybe has some gold engraving on the side and the bedpost, so let him go and sell. Let him go and get a regular bed. And the same thing for the Klei Tashmish, and same thing for the Shulchan. He has this fancy schmancy chvaisa, an Italian table, which is worth 20,000. Let him go and sell it, and he'll go and get cheaper tables. As well as when we say, in b'chayv and oisa limkar, they were talking about the koisis v'karis. That if he has a nice, beautiful kos, he shouldn't go and sell it, and shouldn't go and buy instead. Nowadays, you can go and buy these plastic Shabbos Kodesh koisis, which is, you've never seen that? They have all the caterers. It's not so simple that it's kosher for the kois, but that's not a discussion for now. Anyway, but the masses, we have a machloikis, not a machloikis. We had apparently a stira between the Mishnah in Teya and the Braisa, and the Gemara is saying is, it depends. If you're talking about koisois uka'orois, ein machai ben oisa limkar, even though it's fancy schmancy, he doesn't have to sell that.
But, if you think about the type of things that people have in the house, tend to be heirlooms, yeah. Tend to be from the family. Uh-huh. Sometimes to be, you get a candlestick, you get a kois, most people don't have the bed that their grandmother had.
Uh-huh.
There's a certain chokhmah to that.
Your answer is taka with chokhmah, rather than the Gemara says a little bit differently, as you'll see in a moment. How did I know that this is referring to the Koisik Aris and this is referring to the Mitum Shulchan, because the Gemara continues on. Maishna Koisik Aris Deloi, why are we not Mechayev you in Mesechtes Peya to go and sell the Koisik Aris? Although, I would think that's logical. Yes, with all due respect to our Choshev, a physician friend, who is telling us that Koisik Aris could be heirlooms. However, the Gemara tells us another reason. The Omram Ni'isili, Ichkenish, I can't drink from anything less. I'm so used to these Koisik Aris. I remember we had a family member who was not geboren, but a gevoren, in other words, not a born into the family member, but a tzigi kimena, someone who married into the family. And many of you are too young to appreciate this. But years and years and years ago, most of us would go and drink from glasses that were former yard site candle holders.
Yes.
That you would have the yard site, or you had a few in kippur. Mm-hmm. Then after it was over, then Mommy would go and wash it out and get all the whatever remaining wax was out and make it spick and span really beautiful. And we would use that for coffee and for drinks. And it was virtually universal. And then we had a family member that came in. I can't drink from that. It's clean, it's beautiful. No, it's a yard sale lamp. Everyone have a crystal. And the person was very, very serious. They couldn't. It's just easy. They were not brought up that way to go and drink from yard side cups. They can only drink from a regular cup. So that's what the Gemara is saying. I can understand if you happen to be used to a kois of distinction, that you always use a gold kois, a silver kois, whatever it happens to be. If you're going to go and tell them, sell that and go and buy now a copper kois, or buy an iron kois, or just use a regular glass, I can't. I'm so used to it. My heirloom, right? You feel like an epic. Yeah, the same thing, Carlos.
Or just that we learned that you really don't use your gold cup, your gold vessels.
You put it in a vitrine because it gets worn down.
You put it in your bread crunch.
Beautiful, beautiful. Notice that Mishnah there doesn't talk about gold. It's just talking about Imachai and Uysa Limkar is basically this Klei Tashmisha. So the Klei Tashmisha that we're referring to are the koisis and karais. I'm used to this kois, a silver one, not necessarily a gold one. But the second one, Hayim Shtamish, the Klei Zov, that's talking about the Mita Vishulcha. Again, it's interesting because Mita Vishulchan is typically not gold or silver, but nevertheless, that's what he wants. Because look, when my shita koyitz the carter, the loy geom and mitzili, I can't.
What's this interest? Is it mitzah zahavas other shlomo?
Maybe Shlomo HaMelech had, but you and I don't have. Yeah, you have a golden bed at home?
No, I do not.
A silver?
No.
Okay, so what are the bedposts made out of?
It's AIDS.
AIDS,
or whatever.
Exactly. As we state. Anyway, mitzvah shulchan ami, omar li mekabel ilavai. Same thing could be with the mitzvah shulchan. I can't. I've been sleeping in the same bed now for so many years. And to go and change the bed from a nicely chweis with a canopy on it and with the gold and silver etchings on the side, now I'm just going to have a plain, simple bed. I just can't do it. I'd rather sleep on the floor than sleep on it. Maybe Tisha B'Av I could sleep on that bed. In Shulchan Ami, I'm used to having such a beautiful, majestic table. Now you're going to go and take it away and give me a folding table. I can't. I just can't do it. So what's the difference? Morris says, you're right. That teretz we are doche, and therefore we have a new teretz. Omer Rabbi Breid Rabbi the Machreisha de Kaspa. When it says over here in the Raisa, in the Shtamish Mekleich Zod, Shtamish Mekleich Ches, Mekleich Ches, Shtamish Mekleich Machreisha, is talking about things which are not personal effects that a person develops a certain personal relationship to. Machreisha, most of the Mefarshim learn, is referring to a plow. This person had a silver plow. It's nice to have silver plows, but the copper plows probably do at least as good a job, maybe a better job in doing a harisha, in doing plow. And so therefore, if this person unfortunately is at or near the poverty level, and he wants to go and get the leket shichum peah, and he has a silver machresha, if he could sell that and get for it instead a copper one, or an iron, or steel, which would be cheaper, then he's required to do it, and he should not take from the leket shichum peah. But if you have something which is a personal effect, which you have a personal longing to, that's already a different story. That's what the Bryce is, that's what the Mishnah said. Hey, Machai Benoist, you don't have to sell your house, and you don't have to say those Kwei Tashmisha, those things which are so precious to you, because there might be heirlooms, or something which is very, very personal. There's another pshat with the of Farshim, that the word Machresha is referring to a brush. And it's a brush that a person would typically, brush is on a comb, which a person would normally use, for instance, they say in a shower, to go and brush your back, if, I don't know how agile you are, to scrape the back, exactly, which is always so difficult. So therefore, if you had such a silver scraper, even if you did get a personal attachment to it, nevertheless, this is considered to be an impersonal type of
necessary luxury.
Exactly. 99% of the people don't have silver combs or silver brushes, and therefore this is considered to be a siman of Ashiras, and this is something you should be able to dispense with and get something cheaper, and don't take leket shichum peah. Okay, so that's teretz number one on the steel. Teretz number two, Rabbah Kashikan, Kudim Shiobi the Giver, Kan the Ach Shiobi the Giver. It depends on whether we're talking about before the person is collecting leket shichum peah or after he's collecting leket shichum peah. What do you mean? What's the difference? We'll take a look at the Rashi. Rashi is about 8-9 lines from the top of the Amid. Kan Kudim Shiobi the Day. Giver is up to Rashi. Hold on, that's what we learned in the Mishnah. Im Chayobin. Meikara Koy. What means Meikara? Kishaba liter lechet or shichu peya. Veloy hoyu loy masayim zuz. He doesn't have 100, 200. Bim hoyu moichik li tashmishoy hoyu masig li masayim zuz. And if he would go and sell his personal facts, he would be able to get enough money. Ayim machayim reis lim kar. And you're not machayim. If it's something personal that he has his personal attachment to, you're not machayim. I bought it non machayim. The acher shaboli de giver. What means acher shibir? The acher shibir asmo de kach. Shebezin goyven heimenu. We're now at the point that Bezin is now foreclosing on his nechosim. What's the case? A Ramai case. He going shahoyle masayim zuz. He had enough, more than masayim. But not a leket shichum peah, but he decided to go and act like an oni and take leket shichum peah. But no, then the Bezin finds out she'osher hoy that he was really a wealthy man after all. Bezin goyven the goyven heimenu masha notal. The Bezin says, Mister, you've got to pay back the aniyim you stole from the aniyim. I didn't like ain't like kedei l'shalom. I have no liquid assets. Moichek klei tashmisha hayikarim. Then he has to go and sell even precious klei tashmish. Meshtamish b'pchus, and then he has to start using instead of fancy schmancy beautiful china. He's going to have to use plastic plates. He's going to have to be meshtamish b'pchus. So the degiva shebezin goyven him. So therefore, there's no stira when it says ein machayav anoyis limkar. That's talking about before he collected the leket shichum peah. He doesn't have 200, you don't have to go and sell your personal effects. When does it say, Hay Mishtamish Klei Zov, you do have to sell and take now Klei Chesed? When you were naughty, but you took Lekesh Yechapei and
illegally,
because you were an Oysher, then you got to go and sell and use the differential to go and pay back the Aniyim for stealing from them. Okay. Now, you Mishnah. Zok to Mishnah. Yisrei Mishnah, see, also, Imo Oy Ocheha, Acheha, Ochiha, Midata, because we'll have a mayor, Oy Bechamish, Zuz, Choy Behi Mishotag, Lohoitz, Miyod, and Masheroi, Lehinosim, Lah. What are we referring to? We're referring to the case of a young lady who's getting married and needs a nun. And we already spoke about yesterday that the Gemara told us back in Dafman Beis of Beis that we have psukim that tell us that every father should go and give a nadin to his daughter so that she should be more easily able to get married. What happens if you have a yisoyman that lost her father? She's now being married off by her mother or by an older brother. And by definition, she is a ketana, because the only one that you can marry off like that would be a ketana. And it's midata. It's with her consent. As we'll see in a moment, even though she consents, it's a consent of an immature young girl, because after all, she's still a ketana. But she consented. What did she consent to? Not only did she consent to the shidduch, but she also consented to the amount of nan that was given to her, which was really minimal. You remember yesterday we had in the Mishnah that at the very, very least, you have to give chamishim zuz. And how much did the mother or the brother give? 100 or 50 zuz, considered to be relatively modest amount. When she gets older, she realizes, oi, Tati that passed away, he was a multimillionaire. They only gave me 50 or 100 zuz. I was...
cheated.
I was cheated. Oh. When she gets older and she realizes what happened, she can go at that time be Tevea, I want my nadin. Now you're wondering, what is the shear of the nadin?
Yeah.
We'll see a mitzvah on the bottom of the Amid. We've had this already before, that there's a standard rule of Isur Nechasim. Isur Nechasim means a tenth of the amount of Nechasim that the person owns. How exactly do you calculate that? We're going to get to that mitzvah at the bottom of the Amid. And that's what Rashi says here in the Mishnah as well. She can go and ask for my Isur Nechasim. Now, this is, of course, a very objective standard. 10% across the board for every girl that gets married. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, really, we don't look at it only objectively. We also look at subjectively. What the Gemara is going to call an umdana, an oimet. Rabbi Yehuda oimet in Hesi as habas rishayim. What happens, this Yesoima has an older sister, and Baruch Hashem, the older sister got married when the father was still alive, and that father had a certain standard for the chasen and for the dowry. Go and do the same thing that you did for the second one as you did for the first one. And therefore, according to Yehuda, you don't go based on Isur Nechasim, but rather the umdana, the av, you figure out what the father would have given had he been alive, how much he would have given for this story. The Chum say, no. After all, people can go up and down in terms of the Galgal HaChoyzer Ba'olam, in terms of the Aniyos Va'ashirus. Some people start off Nebuch Oni Ve'evyoin, and then they become wealthy. Or some people start off wealthy, and Nebuch they lose their money. So just because he gave a large nod to the first daughter, maybe he wouldn't have given to the second. Maybe he'd have given more. Maybe he'd have given less. And therefore, say the Chum, Shamanis and the Chasim and Oisimullah, you add up all the Nechasim, you do an appraisal, and then you give her portion. What would that portion be? The Isur Nechasim that we're going to talk about, the tenth, which we're going to talk about at the bottom of the Amid. Zorkimar, Omishmur. Le Parnasa. Parnasa over here doesn't mean Parnasa like we think of it, it means a not. Shaman Be'ash. You go and try to figure out what would the father have done if the father were alive. Rashi uses the expression, we look to see whether the father was a vatran or a kamtsan. What type of individual was he? And when he was in Besmedish, and people would come around to go and collect money. Did he go and give them all his quarters, or did he take out $5? Did he give him a credit card? How much did he give? Was he a vatran? Sure, be generous. Or was he a kamtsan? He was very... Not necessarily is it a bad midah being the kamtsan. Maybe he was Nebuch himself an oni ve'evyon, and therefore he had to go and be stingy because he just didn't have the money. So you have to see what type of person he was. So if last time he made a chasna in the Waldorf Astoria, and now he passed away, so presumably he would have made another chasna in the Waldorf Astoria if he still has the money. Or if last time he made an Ateres Chinka in Flatbush, so he prepared this time he'd make an old Ateres Chinka. So you try to go and figure out what the mindset of that individual is in terms of giving a dowry for his daughter. Frankly, more amazing. Before we continue on, Shmuel's halacha seems to be exactly like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said, what did he do the first time? Do the same thing the second time. So we see what type of mindset this person is when he's marrying off his daughter. So Shmuel seems to be saying the same thing. And the Gemara is in fact going to tell us that in another 10, 12 lines. Let's wait. Frank, the one makes it. This is a brayso. The brayso says the bonis are nizoinois. You get mizoinois. Umisparnesois. Now the word misparnesois is not just for emphasis. Misparnesois. Misparnesois lechoyre is referring to getting their parnasa, which means getting their nat. So they get the mizoinois and their nat minichsi avi. Keitzad. And here we're talking about Rachman Lislan Eisoima, who's trying to go and get what she thinks she's entitled. We do not say ilu of your kind that if her father were alive, kach v'kach v'yinoisulah, this is how much he would give her. Oh, so this is already a giveaway, not like Shmuel. The Shmuel says shambah. What would the father have done? Is he a kamtzen? Is he a vater? Einoimim. Who cares what the father would have done? Ela shamanis nechas v'noisulah. You go and take all the nechas, you add it up, you do an appraisal. And then you give her the Yisra Nechas and the 10% we spoke about before.
You do the Shomer on the Chafza, not on the Gavra.
Okay, very good. Right, Dimara. That's the end of the Braisa. My love, when it says at the end, Nizoyis Umis Parnasis, aren't we talking about Parnasis Habal? What does the Parnasis Habal mean, says Rashi? Nidun Yashon Nisun, aren't we talking about Nadin? And it says directly, not like Shmuel. No, Amram Nachman Yitzhak, like the Parnasis Atzma. We're talking about, says Rashi, when it's Atzma, Mizoyinois. She needs to eat. Now her father passed away, the Yorishim, meaning the brothers or the half-brothers, they have to go and feed her. So she doesn't say, well, Tati would have given me more because he liked me very much and he would give me an ice cream at the end, another piece of cake. No, no, no. Shom is the chas of Nisla, see what the estate is and give her panasasa, meaning her designs. So Timura, so in other words, no kasha. We thought originally it was a kasha on Shmuel because we're talking about Nan. No, we're not talking about Nan, we're talking about designs. Trait Timura. But it's just on designs. Oh, Ms. Barnes is telling me two terms. My love, Achas Benos is Abal. One is referring to the Nadim. The Achas Benos is Atzma. One is referring to the Mizoinis. So in both cases, we don't say what the father would have, could have, should have done, but we look at the objective standard, how much is there in the estate. Is Achshver on Shmuel? It's Malay. Edev, Edev, Abban, and Satzma. Both of them are talking about Mizoinis types of requirements. What's the double Lashon? Mizoinis, oh, Ms. Barnes, oh, Ms. Lakasha. Habachi Bishtia. How much she needs to eat and drink on a daily basis. Also part of the tzuvas bon and nukvan is not only the having food, but also having levush, that she should be dressed appropriately. So on those two things, we don't say what the father could have, would have, should have done, but we see shamanis nechos v'noist. Is nishka kasha on shem. Pray tomorrow. Let's ask for our mishnah. For now. Sometimes a person's fortune goes up or goes down. You give it exactly based on the nechosim, the isra nechosim, 10%, regardless of what the father is wealthy or not. So Timur yetz, my oni my asher. What pshat over here? Oni v'hashir or asher v'hen. Inayim oni v'nechosim. Asher asher v'nechosim. The pashir pshat. That until now the person was oni, he was a poor person. V'hashim baruch Hashem, he won the lottery, and now he's an asher. Oh, forget that he was originally an Oishin. Nebuch, he had the market collapsed, and Nebuch, he lost all of his money, and that's what we mean. Frankly, more than all the time, the Kama Sabra, Filo, Osher, Beheni, Kidame, Yikari, Yabin, and La. Halasle, after what Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, let's see what he did the first time. If the first time he made a beautiful chas in the Waldorf Astoria, then he has to give a big dowry, just like he did the first time. If not. The Chum say, well, it really depends. If he went down in his nechosim and he no longer has ashiras, then you can't go and do that. Does Rabbi Yehuda disagree? Does he feel that you have to go and borrow funds from somebody, from a gemach, to be able to make a chasana on the same standards the first time? What do you expect? So that doesn't make sense. Elav muzdach zayin, that when we say oni v'hesher or hesher v'oni, well, we're really not talking about actual money, we're talking about mindset. Oni bedas. Osher bedas. Meaning, has the person over the years warmed up and he becomes now much more generous? Or has he had, unfortunately, a number of frauds and whatever and he's become very, very stingy? What is his attitude? And therefore, Uktani, what does it say in the Mishnah? The Chum said that if the person, unfortunately, has become stingy or fortunately become very, very generous, Chum Shadam, Oni, the Hesher, Osher Heni, We don't look at that. And so you see, don't go after this Oymed trying to figure out whether the father was wealthy, not wealthy, whether he had the mindset of being generous, of being stingy. Your shaman is a nechasim, an objective standard. Take the nechasim, go and appraise it, and give her 1/10. Which you have to Shmuel, to Shmuel, Shmuel. That's how Shmuel started off. The parnas is shem ba'av, and now we're proving no. The chacham don't say that. The shaman nechasim. Everything more. You're absolutely right. Shmuel is not consistent with the Rabbanan. That's our Rabbi Yehuda, the man of Yehuda Oymed. And Hasi Basar Rishayna, Yinasim Lishniya, Kiderek Shinasim Rishayna. So what do we see from this? That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Try to read Tati's mind. He's unfortunately on the Oylem MS, but were he still alive, what would he have done? So that's exactly like Shmuel says. Shaman Ba'ad. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Frank Demara. Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda seem to be exactly on the same wavelength. Is the name Alok Rabbi Yehuda? You should have simply said, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. This is what I'll tell you why. He Amar Alok Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a minute after the Hesia, the Golidaite, of Lo Yisir Loi. I might have thought if we're going to pass like Rabbi Yehuda, it's only because it's not just an Umdana that we figure out and we assess that person's generosity or miserliness or whatever his attitudes are when it comes to money.
There's a precedent.
Exactly, there's a real factual precedent that he married off the earlier daughter. Then we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's when Rabbi Yehuda said his halacha. Dafke see the golitait, avalo yisir loy. Maybe if in fact he never made a chasana before, maybe takanish, maybe I wouldn't go basa oim dindatze. Because I don't know, I never saw him make a chasana, he didn't make a bamitzah, he never made anything. Kamash malon, time that Rabbi Yehuda does lina basa umdana. That's what Shmuel's chidush is. I pass and tackle like Rabbi Yehuda, but not only loishna hisia, even the case loishna loishia. I have to try to read his mind, the Nebuch in the grave, and figure out what he would have done under these circumstances. Pray tomorrow, Mizoy, by telling hisia, that Ishtaka shouldn't say hisia. Rabbi Yehuda should say, like Shmuel says, that Shaman Ba'av try to figure out whether he was a Vatran or a Kansan. Why does he talk about Dafki hisia? Tomorrow, Chiddush is not Rabbi Yehuda. Even though he's already made one chasid, and then he passed away after that chasid, and therefore he has shown to the world what his mindset is. Did he go and give a fancy delancy chasana with a big nod to his first daughter or not? Say the chachamim, I don't care. Since he's no longer here, he's not in control of his money. We don't try to go and figure out ya nish nish ya. Just do the appraisal in the chosim and give 1/10. Omli Rav Rav Chizda. Darshid Mishmach, we say in your name, Alok Rav Yehuda, that we talk of follow Rav Yehuda, we try to assess what the father's mindset would have been. That's what Rav said to Rav Chizda. What was Rav, how was Rav related to Rav Chizda? He was a son. We don't know whether he was a son at this time, but we know that eventually Rav became
a
son.
As a child, he and Abaya were learning with Rav Chizda.
Beautiful.
Gemara Brachos.
Exactly. Omalei, so when Rav Chizda heard that, he said back to Rava, "Hey Rava, Yehiratzoy, Koki Hani Milim Aliyasa Tidrush Mishmoy." All of these types of wonderful Shtiklach Torah, saying Alok Rav Yehuda, Halavai they would say in my name. In other words, apparently he did not say that, but Rav Chizda saying is Halavai they would say it because it's so beautiful, and I really feel like this, like Rav Yehuda, like Shmuel, etc. Halavai they should continue saying such things in my name. They shouldn't say anything else in my name. No. A beautiful shtiklachai. Now the fact that Rava said this to Rav Chizda, the Gemara assumes that Rava also agrees to this halacha that we pass on like a beautiful. Frankly, me on Rava, how can Rava really feel that way? But then we have a brisa. Rabbi Oimer, basin is oimer shmona achin. If a daughter is still being supported by her brothers, in other words, she's a yisoima, she's getting mizoinus from her brothers based on the Tanakh suva of the suva's bonan nukvan. Now when she gets married, she's entitled to a nod of 10%. And so he's a credit. The Omer Rabbi Hilchasaka Rabbi. We paskin like that, Rabbi. Didn't Rabbi say we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda?
Right.
We should find out. What type of father did they have? Was the father a generous individual? Or was he a stingy type of individual? And Rabbi said, no, just go by the numbers. Just go objective standard. So the steer a Rava on Rava. Which one like Kashu? Hodi Aminei, Hodli Aminei. In fact, Rabbi Taka holds both, like Rabbi Yehuda, as well as the Issur Nechasim. Meaning, if this person's mindset was well known, that we can go and figure out what type of person everybody. He was a public figure, and everybody knew that he was either a generous person or Nebuch, a stingy person. So if we know that, so then says Rava, and says Rebbe, and says Rebbe Yehuda, you go bust the Umden Daita. If he had a daughter that already got married, so we know how he marries off his daughters. Is it with a lot of pomp and with a lot of ceremony, or does he make a cheapo type of chasana here in the backyard, here in the back of the Beis Medrash? So you have a way of figuring it out.
Isn't that essentially what Shmuel says?
Yeah, 100%.
Which is, if there's Om, then we go by that, and if there's not, so then we go by the
Oh, it does. And now we're saying that that's what Rebbe holds, and that's what Rava holds, and that's what Reb Chisda holds. Everybody is here together holding the same thing. If we cannot figure out what the story is, why can't we figure it out?
No,
because
precedent.
Of the fact there is no precedent, and he was kind of a closed type of guy. Nobody really knew your gender, this gender. So what happens in those situations then, says Rebbe? Then he tells it's in the chosim. And I'll bring you right that Rebbe holds that way. Rebbe had this situation. Nebuchadnezzar Yesoima came in front, and Echad, he gave her from the Nechosim, Echad Mishnei Maser Minechosim, not 10%. But 8.5%, right? The 1/12 is a bazaar, kashin, it's a chastir, Rebbe. Rebbe says, you always give Isser Nechasim, and here he gave a 1/2 Masim. What's going on? Even Rebbe also subscribes to this, that if the father, in fact, was a guy that was a little bit more on the stingy side, so we don't give 10%, we only give 1 out of 12 instead of 1 out of 10. But if we taka don't know, then Isser Nechasim, period, nothing to talk about.
What if there's a 12?
One second. So you can ask me, so what's the machlokes in the Mishnah? The machlokes in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to this Rebbe and subscribes to Rava and to Rav Chisda and to Shmuel. Did you go baser umdina? Of course, if you don't know, 10%. The Chum say, no, you cannot go baser umdina because people's mindset can change. He made a chasana 10 years ago, Waldorf Astoria, but today he might have made it in a Weiser Teres Chinka or somewhere else in a much more modest type of fashion, or fakert. Maybe originally he was like a more modest guy, and then he, Baruch Hashem, he made a lot of money, and therefore he's willing to be far more generous. So you never go after umdana, you just go after 10%, period, nothing to talk about. Yes, Brother Shai.
Yeah, so what if there are 13 girls or something like that?
Let's talk about it, multiple girls. That's going to be next Gemara. Thank you for the...
Each gets a decreasing amount of the 10%.
Yeah. Thank you for giving us the segue to learn the next Gemara.
But Gemara Guf. Or even the standard, you have nothing left for the boy.
Imamish, you're putting your finger exactly...
Thunder.
You're taking away my lines over here. So Gemara Guf. Amr Rabbi said, that's the 10% that we're talking about. Amr Le Rabbi, Litvrech, according to you, Mishi Yeshle Eser Banas Uben, put a comma after Ben. He has 10 daughters and he has one son. You take the 10 daughters, he's going to take 10%. There's not going to be anything left for the Ben. And we know that Minatoyed, it's the Ben that's the one that Yarshin. The only reason why the girls get is because it's Tanoi Ksuva, etc. But the Ben is going to be left with nothing. This is what I tell you. The first one takes 10%. That's Sprinzer, got married 5 years ago, took 10%. Shnia, 2 years later, the second sister, Chani, just got married, Mamesha Shaira. She takes down 10% of whatever's left. So let's start off. We start off with $100, $100, $100,000, $100 million, whatever it was. First, you take off 10% of the 100. How much are we down to? 90. Now, the second one takes 10% of the 90. How much is that?
Nine.
Good. And now the Shlisha, the third one, the Mesha Shaira, she now takes 10% of what's left over, and that would be, of course, of 81. 10% of 81 takes 8.1. Now the chiddush is, according to the Havamin of the Gemara, after all the girls are married, now we go and say to each one of them, Sprinza, remember 10 years ago you got married and you took 10%, but as a result your sister Chani only had 9%, and your sister Gnendel only had 8.1%. Now we're going to go and tally all of it together, and you're going to have to cough up some of the money to go and spread it out evenly among everyone. For those of you that cannot figure out all the fractions now on the top of your head, the art scroll does us a favor and says that if you have 10 girls and you start off the first one getting 10 and the next one 9 and the 8.1 and 7.2 and 6.3, you'll find at the end that you're going to cover 65% of the estate and there'll be 35% left, and therefore all the 10 girls are going to go and share in that 65%, each one is going to get 6.5, and then the Ben will get the 35%. But Frank Tingamara, I don't understand. When they got married, they got their 10%. why do you go and say that 5 years or 10 years later they have to cough it up and now reallocate it? That doesn't sound right.
Also, their husbands own it as nifsei some barzel. They have to pay rent.
That's all the part of the
cash. It complicates everything.
Now it makes it even more complicated. Everything mahachi kamri, absolutely right. We're talking about a situation both kulam min osik ki achas. If all 10 came together at one time, I don't know if that they were. Sextuplets is already quite unusual.
Yeah, from the catering.
Okay. Anyway, so all 10 of them are getting ready to get married at the same time. Then Chokas Bishava, the way we just explained, that we would start to allocate 10 and 9 and 8.1 and 7.2, etc., etc. And then we would add all of that up, figure out that that's 65%, and then give each one of them 6.5. So they don't have to cough it up subsequently. We're giving them all at the same
time. So,
and what happens if they don't come at the same time? That's your question.
Right.
That's a tough choice. Exactly. Let's do the arithmetic in advance. The 10 girls.
Escrow 6.5% for all of them, that's it.
That's Toys' cash. The Ishloima, the Adam Kach Noislobin is saying. The way things normally work, you have a man, he has a whole bunch of daughters, he gives 10% to his first daughter. The ilu hoyo av kaim, if he was alive, you know, this in the chasul rishayim. So your poiches lo b'shul achiris rishayim. So you wouldn't start thinking, I'm going to give her 10%. But then afterwards, Chani is only going to have 9%. The other one is going to have 8.1%. So let's go and put it together. Tavala give 10%. We'll see, Mitchum. Kodesh Baruch hopefully give me more panasa. I'll be able to go and give more to the second one, the third one. He doesn't start making those types of cheshbonos. So if they come in, each one individually, Yiktaki give him 10% from whatever's there in the estate at that time. They all come collectively, then we make that type of allocation. Misaila Ramasa, Taka Raita Ramasa, Yom Ramasa. In Bolinos, Kulun Giachas, if they all want to get married at the same time, Noit Lois Iser Echa, then they go and take 1/10% from the estate. Iser Echa, all 10 take 10%. Salkadaita, Elanoit Lois Iser Ki Echa. We do that fraction, that arithmetic that we just spoke about, that all 10 come together. At the same time, they all want to get married. So then we allocate 10, 9, 8, blah, blah, blah. We add it all up, and then we split it up 6.5% to each one. That's what we mean. No yisloiz. Isur echad, ki echad, as if they were. Tanabah.
There's no machlokas.
No, Baruch Hashem, no machlokas. In our shul, we try to have this Yisrael at all times. Whenever we can dispel machlokas as well.
So there, they essentially put away the percentage for that.
All 10 come at one time, we don't put away. All 10 coming at one time, so then we do the allocation. 6.5,
so all 10 come at one time.
Sorry, once again?
If not all 10 come at one time.
Then the choice says, then you go and give the first one 10%. And then when the second one gets married, you give her 10%. Yeah, reallocate whatever's left over. Remember the estate, of course, things that could have been improved as well. You can get 10% from that. It's Ochashai, because it's Roy Kibamuchsik, right? Like we had by Chor in this week's parish. That's what's parasha, that you don't get great moves. Okay, initial chance. Thirty more turnabout. What's up to you? Next price. Turnabout. Habonis. Bein bogru actually nisu. Ubein nisu actually bogru. Ibdu mezoine seyem. Vloy ibdu parnos sosem. Divri rem. Back in the Mishnah we had back on Daphnin Bays, the Mishnah told us about the ksuvas bonan nukfan. It was an interesting kirsa in the Mishnah. The third line of the Mishnah, nun beis on the beis on the white lines, bonan nukfan. The heaven lichi minoi, the husband, the chosin says to the kala, if we are zochet to have girls that you have a lichi minoi that you're going to have from me, you have in yasmin bebesi, they can continue living in my home, umitzim in a chosai and eating mezoinis, after chas v'sholem my passing, says the father, until they get married. When they get married, then they're on their own, and the husbands hopefully will supply them with mezoinis. Now that was a girsa in our Mishnah. And even if it doesn't say that in the ksuba, chayv shetunai besi. Now if you go back to Nun Gimel Amud Beis, you'll recall that there was a machlokes what the proper girsa in the Mishnah was. Was it atilokhin legovrin, or atidibagrun, until they got married, or until they became boigrasin. And then after the Gemara says it could be that everybody agrees, and what would be the machlokes, bagav le'intiv, intiv le'bagar, kuli almalei pli, pli barusav, loy bagar. Anyway, go ayin shom and daf nun gimel. But the point is that these were considered to be the two measuring milestones in life, that the girls would continue receiving mezoinis either ad shalei bagrun. Let's go back to Lashon HaBrayis. Habanas here back on Samach Chesam and Beis. Habana is being bogru. They're bogru, which means, of course, they're 12 and a half years old. Actually, nisu, even though they're not married yet. Or bein nisu, or they got married early when they were, for instance, a nara. Actually, bogru until they became a bainus. In both of those cases, if the mezonis say they don't get mezonis anymore because that was the lashon of the Mishnah, right? Ad she dibagrin or ad she tilokchun legufrin. However, this has nothing to do with their nan. They continue getting the benefit and the rights to that nan, even though she's a begeris. The girl is already 50, she's already 18. I want my ish and a chasin. She's entitled to a divir. She loves her. No. After even the parnasosin, when they hit that age or that milestone, if they become a begeris, from that point on, if you're not married yet, you lose it. What's the expression? You use it or you lose it.
Right? You didn't lose it. Pressure.
Talk about the clock ticking. Right. So Kate and Noises, what did the girls do if unfortunately they didn't have a chosin yet? So there was a market you can go and rent a husband. In other words, they paid someone to go and say, yep, we're getting married. But similar to like you have today, somebody wants to emigrate from another country. You get a green card if you're married to an American citizen, so you try to work out one of
these. They don't need that anymore. You swap across the border.
Okay. Anyway, let's go. We'll talk about those things.
I had someone in my office. They had to go through all sorts of hoops to get citizenship.
So they hire false husbands. In other words, they go and pay a fee. It's not a real husband. And they say, okay, you see, I'm getting married. Give him my nadin. They would get the nadin. They give a certain percentage or give a fee to the balu and say, okay, goodbye, Charlie. And they'd hold on to the money until they got really mad.
How could they incentivize such behavior? Such behavior. It's at least the princess. So these women will hire these men. They'll live with them because they'll be there legally their husbands, right?
So would you prefer that we pass them like Rebbe? We pass them like Rebbe, that you do not lose your right to announce. You don't have to worry about it.
Incentivizing bad behavior.
Exactly. Good. So that's how we pass them. Great. My answer, Rav Nachman. As this was Omer Rav Nachman, Om Lihuna, Halach Kerem. Now, Rav asked Rav Nachman, Yesoyma, Shesiyasa, Imo Yochia. Midata, because we love Meir, Oibachamishim Zuz. Where do we have this? This Amishlan Yomer Aleph. The Yam Nebucha Yisayma. There's no father. Now it's the mother or the Yachid that's going to marry her off. And they wrote into the Ksuba 100 or 50 Zuz for Nadin. Yachol Lehish Meshitagu. When she gets old, she can say, to the other man, she wrote the Nasala. I want to get it back. Now, obviously, Amishlan must be talking about a case of a Kitana. How do I know we're talking about a case of a Kitana? Because who's marrying her off?
Mother or brothers.
And what happens if she's not happy with the marriage?
Mian.
And when do you do Mian?
When you become a Gedola.
Oh, so it has to be Tomer Ketan.
She can do Mian up till
12. Up till 12 is called Ketan.
She's a Gedola already.
Depends how you define the word Gedola. Right. You can call it Gedola, could be an Arab. For instance, you see Agmar says Hagdola. Detroit, you see Hagdola?
Yeah.
What did it say, Rashi? Parallel to Agmar, Hagdola. Is it Rashi? Keep going.
Nara.
So you see, it depends on the context, but here Gedolah means it out. Anyway, getting back to our mission. Again, what does it say? If she was a Ketana when she got married, through her mother, through her older brother, and then she was gypped, she's allowed to go and get her Nadin later on. Tam Adiktana, that's Rashi, because she was a Ketana. Hol Gedolah, if she was already a Nara, says Rashi. Vitra, if she didn't insist on getting her Isa Nechasim that time, she blows it. She loses it. That's what it says there in our Mishnah. So Rabbi is asking Rav Nachman, you just said, now we pass on like Rabbi. What did Rabbi say? Rabbi said that even if you become a begeris, or even if you get married before you were begeris, right? Bein nisu actually bagur. You got married when you were nara, before you became begeris. Leim de parnasasin. You didn't lose your nadin. You're still entitled to your nadin. We see from our Mishnah, it's only by a ketana she can still demand her nadin later. But Gedolah, once she becomes a nara, ditra, she loses it. Is the Chayra, you're telling me, we paskin like Rebbe against our Mishnah? No, you don't have to say there's a machlokes. Loi kasha, hod machoy, hod le machoy. It really depends at the time of the chasna. In the Kabbalah's panim room, or the chuppah room, did she go and say, Rabbeisai, I want you to know I am a nara, I'm getting married now, Baruch Hashem, I did not get my nadin, or I got an insufficient nadin, I am not mevater, and miyat Hashem, when the time will come, I hope to go to Bezin and insist on my rights. And she's not mevater, and she's entitled to get it even later on. That's what Rabbi said. Lo ibdu harnasos. However, if she gets married, being aware of her rights, she's a nara, and she signs, she says, no, Okay, I didn't get it. Why can you do it? I don't get it again. You know, that's my lot in life. It's not a utopia. She's not moicha. Then she loses it. So now you got to tell me, is that really the pshat? I'll bring you a raya. Because if not, then King Kasha, the Rebbe, the Rebbe. What's the steer of Rebbe and Rebbe? Rebbe said here at the top of the Yomud that they did not lose the nun. If a Nara gets married before she becomes a Begeris, she doesn't lose her nun. But I have another Rebbe, he's saying, remember the Brisa. Rebbe, Oyme Basin, Zoyne, Ben Achen, Noitelis, Isin, Achos. If she's still getting Mizoynis from her brothers, then she's entitled to get the 10%. It's like Mashu Nazoynis in, she ain't Mizoynis Loy. But once she is no longer getting Mizoynis, now why is she no longer getting Mizoynis?
She got married.
Either because you were getting Begeris or because she got married. Go back to the original Brisa. Tanra Banabana, it's Bain Bogru, Achlein Nisu. Bain Nisu, Achlein Bogru. If the Mizoynis say, they lose their Mizoynis. But says Rebbe, but they don't lose their Nan. Says Rebbe, as long as you're still getting Mizoynis, you get Nan. Once you don't get Mizoynis, you don't get Nan. That's not true. Rebbe said, even if you're not getting Mizoynis, Loi Ibde Parnas, Sosan, is the Chassir Rebbe and Rebbe. And Lav Shemamina, the Machoy, the Loi Machoy, it depends. If she's Moichin, she said, Raboisai, I'm getting married. You didn't give me my Yisun Chassim, but I intend demanding it. Then she reserved her rights. If she's not Moichin, she's Mavater. She's Mavater in Shemamina.
How does the Shemot and Moran Yun Gimel?
That what?
We said, wasn't there Machlokas? You said that, remind us of Machlokas, whether she
was Atil Lachmigovin or Atil Tisbagman.
I thought there was.
That's from the Zoynis. He was talking now about the case of yes, of not.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but wasn't there a case of Shita there, even after she becomes familiar, she's still, if she didn't get married,
she's still entitled to
my understatement, okay.
Okay, Mitch, I'm going to go back to the Kibbutz. We'll see. Omel Rav Inel Rav, Omel Rav Adar Bar Ahava, Mishimcha, he said in your name. This is what Ravina said to Rav, they said in Rav Adar Bar Ahava, said in the name of you, Rav, that Bogra Einet Zricha Limchois, if she becomes a Begeris, she doesn't have to be Moicha. This is Enes Richa Limchais. If she gets married when she's still a Nara, she does not have to be Moichah.
At the time of the Chuppah.
Exactly. Bogra. Then is this, if she's both a Begeret and getting married, both together, then Sricha Limchais, she has to go and be Moichah. Frey Timura. The Omer Rav Hachi, did Rav say that when you become a Begeret, you don't have to be Moichah. When you become Nisus, when you're a Nara, you don't have to be Moichah. Rav Taka said it. Va'esvei Rav L'Rav Nachman Yisoyma. Remember, who was the one that got us into this machoy and loy machoy? It was really Rava that asked the kasher of Nachman from Yisoyma. We was a kasher of Rava, Rachman of Yisoyma. That's the, if you go back to 12 lines on the top of the Amid, Omer of Nachman, Omni Huna Hilcha Sa'akir Rabbi, Eisvei Rava the Rav Nachman Yisoyma. That's what the Gemara is alluding to, without bringing the entire Gemara, because the Balei Shas knew it's already getting late for the daf, so therefore they just the kitzur. Don't you remember Rav asked Nachman Yisoyim? What was the kasha? He asked the steer, how can you go to be possible like Rebbe? In our Mishnah it says that Yisoyim continues. She Masha really needs Law. She continues getting it because she's a Tana. Hagadoyla, she's Mavater. And what did we answer? We answered Hadamachi Hadloi Machi. Back in our Gemara Hadamachloi Machi. So you Rav yourself was the one that asked this kasha to Nachman, and you yourself, or Rav Nachman answered you the teretz of Machi and Loi Machi. And what's the teretz? That if you have a Nara that's getting married, she has to make sure to be Moicha. Otherwise, she's Mavater and she loses it. Yet, we just had this memra in the name of Rava, Omer of Adar Bar Ahava Mishimcha, that Bogra doesn't have to be Moicha, and Nisus, when she's a Nara, doesn't have to be Moicha. Didn't you just say that a Nara that's Nisus has to be Moicha? And yet, now you're telling me you don't have to be Moicha. Make up your mind. It really depends if she continues to receiving mezainus. In other words, she has some very generous brothers, and the brothers are saying to her, Shprinze, it's okay, you're getting married, I know you're noivis, because your husband's living in Koil, he doesn't have enough money, he's going to medical school, and therefore he doesn't have enough to support you. We're going to continue giving you mezainus even after your marriage. Or there'll be other brothers that say, no, it says, Ksuvis bon and nukvan, you're getting married, the mezoinis gravy train is ended, you don't get any more. Ah, says Rashi, if she's continuing to receive mezoinis and she's getting married as a Nara, do you think she's going to make a public protest at the Chuppah? Rabbi, my brothers are not going and giving me none. Young lady, these are such generous people that continue to feed you every single day. exactly show your gratitude. So she's not going to want to go make a public display of her displeasure that she's not getting her isa nechas. So therefore, she does not have to be moicha, because we don't want her to go and have to go and kick the brothers that are feeding her. On the other hand, if they have stopped the gravy train, no more food, and therefore they're saying implicitly a no more nadin, now she has to be moicha. I want nadin. I don't want it now. I want the chasana to go on. Everybody should be happy. We should dance until 12 o'clock.
I'll see in court later.
Exactly. So that's the question. Rashi says that she's so sick. She's not moicha on parnasa. The reason why she's doing it is because she's getting a benefit from them, so she doesn't want to rock the what's the
rock the boat.
Rock the boat. Oh, it does like everybody knows. Good. So that's the end of that shtickle. So look more right. Now we start a new shtickle. You can put two dots over here. New piece. Omer avuna omer rebbe. Parnasa ain't a kitanai ksuba. The din of nadin is not like other hilchos ksuba. What do we mean? Now, Rashi says that tanai ksuba means over here, mezoinos. Mezoinos that she gets. So nadin is different than mezoinos. Frey Timor, what does that mean? My ain't a kitanai ksuba. And the Gemara is going to come up with three possibilities. In Eima, the ilu parnasa, tarfa min mishabdi, or tanai ksuba, loy tarfa min mishabdi. If you're going to go and tell me when it comes to nadin, if and when the father passed away, there is an estate, but the estate doesn't have any liquid assets, and in fact they don't have any real estate, but rather all the real estate that the father owns at the time of marriage and the time of the ksuba were all sold, and they're all mishubadim. When it comes to isa nechasim, you can be toydef mishubadim from those likuchais. But tonight, ksuba, when it comes to mezoinos, then you cannot be traded from the kuchais. Maybe that's what you mean, that the nadin is stronger in this sense than the mezoinos. He can go to the kuchais and try to extract money, and not by mezoinos. Now, what's takana svara? Why would this be? Says Rashi, very simple, neitikana oilam. When it comes to isur nechasim, that's easy to go and shots up. It's easy to appraise. When the father got married, when the chasim kala, and he wrote out the ksuba, we knew at that time how much was this chasid kala worth. We added up all the figures in the ksuba. We know they were worth $10,000. We know that if and when their matzah will stay more or less the same, 10%, and of course you can only collect from the ksuba from the karkois, not from the talkli, and therefore we know that if there's going to be a non situation, we're going to get 10%, 10% of $10,000, $1,000 a late. However, when he's talking about mezoinis, that's it has no kitzvah nor katsiv because of the fact that, who knows, maybe the father will pass away never for the next day, and not the next day, mamish, because you have to have a daughter. Okay, maybe she became pregnant that night, fine. And then, now this girl is eating out for the next 12 years, and she had, Baruch Hashem, a voracious appetite, and she eats and eats and eats. So, when they take an oil, you can't expect the lekuches to go and fund mezainis. But they can figure out when they are buying and selling property or taking a lien.
The fixed lien that attached to the property.
Exactly right. So, therefore,
they can adjust the price accordingly.
Beautiful. That being the case, that's the chayr, the chiddush that Ravuna is saying in Emiya Rebbe, that when it comes to isa nechasim, that you can take from mishabadim but not mezainis. Frey Timor, is that the chiddush? My kamashla. Hamas b'choyim. This is the way we've been doing it for years. Go to any bezin, they'll tell you. So that's no grace. I know it already for many years. Elamite, so what was the chiddush? The Ilaparnasa Gavya Nami Mimetalkli, or Tanoi Ksuva Mimekarkoi. Gavya Mimetalkli, Loi Gavya. Ah, so maybe that's pshat. What's the difference between Parnasa meaning Nadin? Nadin you can go and take even from Metalkalin. That if the father passed away and she's getting married, you can go and liquidate some Metalkalin to go and come up with the Isan Chas. But you're talking about Tanoi Ksuva, which means food that you only take from Karka, not from Metalkalin. Pray tomorrow. Really, is that the case? The Rebbe, this is Rafuna Omer Rebbe. Rebbe, idri idri mikveh gavya. According to Rebbe, you can go and take from both, even for mezoinis, the sign we learned in the Braisa. We quoted this the other day. We state in the Braisa, Ech and the Chosim Sheish Lenachrais, which of course means Karaka. Ech and the Chosim Sheish Lenachrais, which of course means Metalta. Moitzin lemozin isha v'labona, is divrei Rebbe. So I see that even when it comes to mezoinis, they do take from Metalta, so there's no difference between the case of Natan and the case of mezoinis. So you're right. Elamai panosin kitay ksuva is number three. Likidasanya, who oimer, a father who's never cheshchemara, he's about to pass away, and he's leaving now his last will and testament to his yorshim. He says, oimer, al yizuna benoisim in a chosav. He says, you know what? I don't like my daughters. I don't want you to go and give them a zaynus. Let them work. Let them sweat. Let them schwitz. Don't give them a zaynus. Ain't shomer, you don't listen to him. Why don't you listen to him? Because that's tonight ksuva. Tonight, even if it doesn't say the ksuva we had in the Mishnah back in those days. Tonight bezin, you gotta give him a zaynus to the daughters, whether you like it or not. But if he's a alias barnes, even though the chum said one should give a nut, I don't want to give a nut. This is not an absolute requirement. It's not part of the Tanai of the Bana Nukva, and it's not a Tanai Bezin. It doesn't rise to that level. Avada, it's a good thing, and it's a wonderful thing, but you're not mechuyev to do it if the father says, I don't want to give a nun. You don't give a nun. And with this, we stop here.
So if the father is silent, we can do an umdana, but if the father is expressly against